At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I actually know who's called me so chirpy.
It's okay, don't feel bad.
That will never happen again.
It's okay, because it took me like 5 minutes to find your number earlier in the messages on Facebook, and I was like, oh my God, where is her number? So, you are driving now.
I am. I'm gonna get some diesel, and I will be driving for 5 hours.
So where are you going?
I'm gonna go see my sister and my nieces.
Oh, well, that's cool. So you're not doing a horse thing?
No, I'm gonna haul some horses back from Zerlotti's, but so I'm taking the trailer, but I'm not doing an event or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just going. So, I gotta get away from there for a day or so.
You know what? Nothing's wrong with that. I think it's good for your mental health, for anybody's mental health, to get away from everyday life.
God knows I need mental health help, so.
Don't feel bad. You're not the only one. We all are going through that.
No, I'm not. It's part of self-care, and I am an avid believer.
Hell yeah. And you know what? I think it probably takes people like me and you, or a lot of people out there, to be okay with self-care. Sometimes I feel guilty. Like, I feel bad if I take care of me. You know what I mean? But then, like, we talked about it last time. You can't help nobody else if you don't take care of yourself.
No. And when I was married before, there wasn't a self-care.
Right.
And I did feel that guilt.
It was kind of weird for me for a minute.
He made me feel that guilt. Like, where are you at? What are you doing? You know, like, why aren't you home? Why aren't you here? Why, you know, like, so I wasn't able to take care of myself.
You know, it's funny you just said that, because people do that. They want becoming happy and taking care of themselves, and they'll want to stop it. Yes. Like, you weren't going to see me with my, since my accident, I keep my nails done. My eyelashes are done, and that's about the extreme as my self-care goes. But before that, none of that happened until I left bedroom. But that's weird now that there's a quote, I remember reading it a long time ago, you don't realize you're suffocating until you start breathing fresh air.
Yeah.
Well, and so then you leaving and being able to do that, like, fresh air for you.
Yeah, and I knew, like, I figured out I was suffocating, but I couldn't get away. So yeah. I wasn't able, you know, to take care of myself until I was able to up and leave. And it's more so, you know, self-care can look so many different ways.
Yeah.
Is it getting your eyelashes done, or getting a manicure or pedicure, or is it taking a bubble bath, or is it just freaking quiet time, like breathing room?
And no, you're absolutely right.
And now, I mean, people will be like, why don't you, you know, you drive in silence? I'm like, yep, I drive in silence. Well, I don't watch TV. Like, my house is quiet. Sometimes I'll play music, but very, very, very rare. Like, I have really learned to love the stillness.
Yeah.
And there are times where it's too quiet. Like, Thursdays when my kids go back to their dad, I struggle on Thursdays, and I need interaction and a bunch going on, because when I come home on Thursday night and the house is quiet after them leaving, I always struggle those Thursdays.
Yeah.
But then, you know, as a day or two passes, it's like I'll just sit in the silence, or lay in the silence, or, you know, light a candle and turn off the lights and run a bubble bath. Like, I just took like a 2-hour bubble bath.
That's awesome.
But I was never able to do any of that stuff before. And
well, it probably makes you appreciate it too.
Oh yeah, I definitely appreciate my quiet time. And I used to not be able to enjoy it, I guess, because I was so sad and depressed and anxious and lost. Like, it was a very uncomfortable feeling.
From what you tell me, he probably made you feel like you didn't deserve to be happy because you couldn't do, like, you know, when you would take care of yourself, a person that loves you is supposed to be happy for you being happy and doing the things that make you happy. You know, it's almost like if he was all mad and stuff, when he would see you do things that made you happy and made life enjoyable, that's not love. That's just holding somebody down, keeping them at a level where you can manipulate them and do things to them.
I have to say, like, when I look back and his lifestyle, I mean, his self-care is getting a haircut and washing his face, you know, like he has the best skin in the entire world.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really take any, he does more so now, but he doesn't take any time to take care of himself either. I think that, like, growing up in Mexico and coming here and just having to work, his entire mindset is to work. There's not time to relax. Like, when we first got together, well, no, I can't say that. When we first got together, like, we would actually sit down and watch TV together, sit down and eat together. When we moved back to Weatherford and his family got involved, that's whenever we lost our sense of closeness. And it was literally just work, 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 work to get to the next spot, like, where he could do and have the things that he wanted to have. So doing something for yourself does not fit into the schedule.
Right.
And yeah, I somewhat maybe blame him for that, for taking that away from me, but I allowed it. Like,
yeah.
I allowed his values to be my values instead of, I wasn't strong at all whenever we met. It was literally whatever I can do to make you happy. Just a very servant like personality. And the stronger I got, where, you know, he wasn't going to steal my joy anymore. And I was going to go ahead and do things for me because I wanted a future too, is when the separation really occurred. And then being, you know, now putting that in the past and being on my own, and not in a relationship, that's been a huge adjustment. And I'm pretty dang good. Like, I don't cry every day, or, you know, I'm pretty happy.
But your boundaries probably, well, not boundaries, but your hypersensitivity to the things that make you happy and boundaries and stuff of that nature. You know, when a lot of people come out of relationships, like with your ex-husband, and it's hard to get into newer relationships because you have a whole different mentality, and, like, red flags are different. And do you think that's harder dating now?
Oh, 100%. Like, it's so funny that you say this because, you know, the new year came and I was like, oh my God, year ended. My 2023, hold on, I think my car is adjusting to CarPlay. Hold on. There. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
My 2023 was such a pretty darn good year. And then it, like, a month, December, completely crashed. Completely crashed. And I thought, you know, of all the shit that has gone on in my life, like, I seriously opened the door to garbage. Like, I opened the door for garbage into my life and, like, welcome it full on with open arms, and not calling people garbage or anything like that, but circumstances that I should not be a part of or allow into my space, because I am a very giving individual and I'll do anything for anybody. And whenever I love you, like, I love you. And setting boundaries and keeping those boundaries has always been a major struggle, because
I'll go to the ends of the earth for you, but I'm not going to be taken care of in the process.
Right.
And so coming into the new year, that was my word. Like, boundaries was my word. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, 2024, I'm really going to focus on boundaries and relationships and being freaking smart and not so dumb. And all of my goals have really taken a huge shift. So, you know, when it comes to a relationship or, you know, dating someone or even just contemplating going out on a date, it's not easy at all because I don't want anybody to touch me. I don't want...
Right.
I'm very, very guarded now. And I do have a wall up, and I'm not used to having a wall up because I'm really an open book.
Yeah.
And I'll share anything. And I have no filter as far as what I'm going to share and what I'm not going to share because I am very transparent about things. But when it comes to somebody trying to get close to my heart, I'm very, you know, when I don't see a red flag, like, I'm very guarded. And
well, I mean, it's been through enough. Nobody wants to do that again.
I'm damaged. Got some damage.
Well, like, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like it's the same concept as the stove is hot. Okay, well, you touched it. Or not you, but in general, you know, like, okay, me, I touched it, it's hot, why the hell am I going to touch it again?
Right, but my dumbass keeps letting stuff like that touch me, right? And I keep getting burned, and I'm like, oh, yeah, come on, bring it on, I can take it, and I get burned. And it's just this horrible cycle, and so this year I've been like, I'm going to break the cycle. I'm going to do for me, and I'm going to be okay with me. And that's something that I don't know that I can honestly say I've ever been okay with just me, because like I've never been a dater. I've never dated. I don't date.
Right.
I'll find somebody that I connect with and that's it. Like you're not coming into my circle because it's closed, you know?
Yeah.
So I've never
I agree with that. I'm not, some people are like serial daters. They can just hop from here to there and doing this and that. And that's hard for me to do, too. I can relate to exactly what you're saying.
I don't know, even more so now, because, like, touching me, if you want good, like, good luck.
I'm
as
disgusted.
So guarded. I had a guy ask me out the other day, and I was like, you know, I'm not attracted to this guy at all. Like, I have no interest. But he's freaking hilarious. So anytime he's around, I just laugh. And I'm like, you know what? It's fine. I'll go eat because it'll be an enjoyable dinner. Like, I'll laugh, you know?
Yeah.
And I did a little research on the person, and I'm like, oh, my God, thank God we never went to go eat. Because after doing a little digging, I learned a little bit about his character, and I thought, if somebody saw me, like, I don't want to be associated with that, you know, because... How many guys out there just don't, you know, they want tit pics and in your pants? I'm like, man, if you want tit pics and in my pants, I'm definitely the wrong person that you're going to date.
Right. Well, that's honorable for you to be straight up like that. Because there are some girls, and trust me, I know, there are some girls, I'm very much like you. I'm like, you know what, I don't need the free dinner. Like, if it's not there, it's not there. I'm just not even going to entertain it. Or I'm going to be very upfront and be like, I don't look at you like that, or it's just, you know, whatever. I'm very upfront like that. But some girls are not. Some girls will absolutely just, it could be turned the other way around. There's some guys out there have been drugged through the ringer, and because girls will just use them. And some girls are like that. I'm glad that I'm not the only one that thinks like you do.
There's a lot of girls. There's a lot of girls like that. So, like, from a single guy standpoint, looking for, like, a very respectful, honorable woman.
Wife material.
It's hard. And it's the same, like, being a single woman, looking for a respectful, honorable, like, somebody who's going to take care of me. And that's a whole other thing, because I've never looked at a relationship as, oh, he would take really good care of me. Oh, I would be taken care of. And not so much, like,
from a monetary standpoint, but from like an emotional standpoint, I've never.
I'm so glad you said that.
Because I've always been the caretaker.
Well, and I think it also could be a control thing, not control in a bad way. Control can sometimes seem like a negative word, but no, for me, I'm the same way. I have never looked at a man and go, oh, okay, well, he'd be a provider. I look at it like, you know, you can't get, it's not that way in this day and age. It's not like it was in the, you know, it was that way back in the day. You had men were providers and women were homekeepers and had babies and take care of the family, and the men brought in the money and stuff of that nature. But it's not like that now. It's not. It's just not. And because women, we are providers. We are head of household and stuff like that. But I'm so glad you brought this up, because I think that is the problem with dating, is I feel like the roles are like reversed. I watch now. I don't know if you watch people. But to me, it's like the girls are now like the guys. Girls call out guys, and girls do the first date. And girls do the things that men should be doing, but we're supposed to be looking for provide. See, it's just twisted to me. It's so twisted.
Well, I
am I wrong? That,
no, I mean, I do see, and I do see what you're saying, because I think that roles that women have been given more dominant roles to allow them to feel as if they could or should step outside of what we were taught the norm should be. Because the norm is definitely not the norm anymore.
No. But like, we had home ec in school.
Right. That's funny. But I remember that class. That was, you're dating us. You're dating us. But I feel like now, when I think about it now, being that I haven't worked in 3 years since my accident, and I don't have an income, and I don't have child support, and I am trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do with the rest of my life in order to make ends meet so that I can meet my kids' needs? And that's heavy on my heart. I have actually thought, like, you know, if I choose to date someone again, I might want to consider the fact that, like, they're self-sustainable and might take care of me if I needed to be taken care of.
Yeah.
But the main thing for me is I just want my heart taken care of.
Yeah.
I want my well-being, like, I want me, who I am and my character and my, like, I want that love. Like, that's what I want somebody to truly provide for me.
Yeah.
And
but that's hard to do. It's hard to find that, because something like that takes investment in a person. But it's hard to get even to that first step, you know, like the first step.
Okay, so yeah, 100%. Like, and then you can find somebody that you've probably looked for your entire freaking life, and you've met them, and you're not ready, because you're so guarded and so protected that allowing somebody to get that close to you emotionally scares you, because I'm fucking tired of the pain. I'm tired of feeling pain.
Yeah, and you know what else? You just made me think about something. You're tired. We're tired of the pain, and we don't want to become. Well, me, you don't want to become numb to something that shouldn't be numb, like. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want your heart to get to the point to where you're just like, oh, okay, well, this is normal now. This bullshit is normal. Just whatever, you know. And it's supposed to be special to take care of somebody in that nature, emotionally and mentally and stuff. You know what I mean? Is that right? That's what I think.
Yes. No, I think so. And with, you know, being married to Pedro, I did grow very numb. I knew that what I was living wasn't normal and it wasn't okay, but me leaving boiled down to the fact that if I don't do something to change this is what my children's relationships are going to look like.
Right.
And that was probably the driving force where, you know, I held on. I think we both held on for so long for the kids. And and then realizing like Jaden's idea of norm was us living literally on two opposite ends of the house with no relationship. That was her normal. That's what she thought was normal. And then realizing that that's what she thought was normal. There is no way I would be okay in the future allowing her to be in that type of relationship and seeing her be miserable. And that be almost, you know, mine and his problem for allowing her to believe that that was normal. So now I feel like it's damage control and trying to rebuild this character to show her what's normal and what's not normal, what's expected and what's not expected. And so I have this rule for her. And I said, Jaden, like, it's a one-strike rule. One strike, you're out. She's like, what do you mean? And I said, you might want to warn the young man that you have this rule so he at least has a heads up. I said, but if that kid doesn't step correct and he does not treat you the way God would treat you, you don't date him.
Yeah.
He's done. And she's embraced it. But I told her, I said, but it works both ways. That means that you have to treat that person the same exact way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then, you know, after going through a divorce and having another relationship, my daughter's looking at me going, Mom, you said one strike, they're out. What are you doing? Well, Jaden, I
know. Practice what you preach.
Exactly. And she's, you know, she would get up and remove herself from a situation, like, if she was uncomfortable and question me, like, Mom, what exactly? Like, you're not practicing what you preach. And then I explained to her, which is totally not right, but the truth is that I'm so accustomed to what's not right that trying to reshape myself and walking in line with what is right is almost like you're reteaching yourself and relearning things.
Well, no, I 110% agree with you because, I mean, I'm a firm believer in practice what you preach and all that. I'm very, very big about that. But I'm also human, and so I agree with what you're saying. You know, there's been times in my life where I'll go, oh, crap, I can't believe I just did that. That is not what I stand. Like, you know, I went against something that I preach. And but I think as humans, we should be allowed a little bit of, you know, leeway when it comes to things like that. But it's even cooler that you were even at the point in your life where you are recognizing, because recognizing that you contribute to the problem too. And that's hard for people to do when they come out of bad relationships and stuff. Because I've been through that too. It's hard to, you got to get through the whole, I don't like them, it's their fault, and get to the whole, okay, well, what did I do to allow this? I need to work on this. It was my fault for doing this. You know, that's hard. It's hard to do that.
Yeah. So in my past relationship, like, I was just an enabler because I'm very giving and I just want you to have everything. I don't want you to go without. I want you, I love you. I want to see you happy. And so, like, we actually broke up because it was noble of him, which is hard to find. But it was one of those deals where, like, you and your kids don't deserve this. You deserve better. I'm not in a good place in my life. And I cannot continue to drag you and your kids through what I'm living.
Yeah.
And then me being the person I am, I'm like, but I do this and I love you and I'm willing to wait it out. And so I really struggled with that. And then, you know, months go by and you look and you're like, they're in the same spot they were in. You know, they're supposed to be working on themselves. They're in the same spot that they're in. It is better for you and your kids, but separating yourself from, you can't just like turn off the love switch, you know.
Right. No, stuff like that.
Stop caring about somebody that you've poured and you've invested in.
Well, and kids are involved too. That makes it a complete difference. Because, like, I wonder if it was hard on you when after you got separated and stuff, and you got your kids around to not say what you really want to say about him and things of that nature. That's got to be hard.
It's very hard, and I make a lot of mistakes by opening my mouth or just by my facial expression in general.
Nothing's wrong with that, because I, you know what, other people do it too, but that's got to be hard. I mean, that's, it's got to be hard to try to keep yourself in check and go, okay.
It's so hard, but here's, there's a part of me that is very, like, checklist-like. Like,
yeah,
what is very black and white. Let's just put it all out here in the open and lay it out for everyone to see, you know? And it's hard to kind of try to shut that down and reel that in and not be that way in front of my kids and just know that, you know, my kids will see what is and what's not. They're going to see my faults. They're going to see his faults. But biting my tongue is very, very, very hard. But with a lot of practice, it's gotten a lot better.
I feel you. Trust me. I'm laughing because I feel you. I understand.
What was harder than that was not so much biting my tongue. I lived 15 years nearly defending him.
Yeah.
To everyone, including my kids, you know. Oh, no, your dad really does love you. Oh, your dad just doesn't know how to show love. Oh, like, I band-aided for so long. It's actually been harder for me to stop band-aiding, like, stop trying to help him. Stop trying to explain to your kids or make excuses as to why this, that, or the other happened. That's honestly been harder.
Well, your brain is a muscle. Like, I don't think people realize that sometimes, and because it kills me when people go, okay, well, it is what it is. Well, some things are what they are. However, some emotions and some thought processes can be changed if you really want to change them, but it takes practice, just like with working out your body. And let's say you want to get a six-pack. Okay, well, you're not going to get a six-pack overnight. You've got to work towards it. So it's the same thing with your brain and your thought processes. It takes time to get to where you want it to be.
Right. So,
practice.
We're practicing a lot of wonderful things, right?
So,
wonderful changes. But so the problem is like, my daughter is a spitting image of me. Like, she's just like me. She feels the same. She, you know, takes on other people's emotions and feelings. She's very tenderhearted. And so her love language is identical to mine. My love language. And
I need to read that book.
Oh, God. You know what's so funny about that book is whenever me and Pedro first started talking, he gave me that book.
Oh, wow.
And it was all, this is how I took it. So you want me to know your love language so I can serve you. However, you don't give two shits about that love language. But, yeah, that's pretty much how that went down. But Jaden needs the same type of things that I need. And so when she feels love the same ways that I feel love. So she struggles with that dynamic, in my opinion. I'm going to say my opinion because I'm not going to speak on her behalf. But what I see is because she isn't fed the way she needs to be fed as far as receiving love or relationship dynamics, stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, so let me ask you this. What has been the hardest thing as far as dating, like going into the whole dating world? Because I guess what I'm trying to ask is, do you feel like, okay, well, I've just been there and I've done that and I'm good? Or do you want to find somebody to spend, to do life with? Not necessarily spend your life with, but to do life with and to, like, you know, hang out with and things of that nature. You know, is that anything that you're...
I think that right now I'm just getting to a point where I'm comfortable being okay by myself.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying being by myself and just spending, you know, going and having lunch with the girls or going and having dinner with the girls or just being at the barn and enjoying my horses, because I have a personality where, like, I feel like I need to have my phone on me all the time. And if I miss a call or a text, oh my God, I'm going to get in trouble. Breaking those unhealthy habits that I've had of where I felt like I done something wrong by not being at someone's beck and call. I think that that has to be a priority of mine right now. And then setting boundaries, like I mentioned earlier. And I don't want any expectations placed on me right now because I know that I'm not you. And I know that, like, I want a long-term relationship, and I want someone to spend my future with 100%. I don't want to be alone the rest of my life.
Yeah.
However, I feel like taking a step back and sitting in my silence and going through this healing process has made me realize what I will and will not allow in my life anymore. And actually breaking down the things that I've preached to my daughter. These are the things to expect. And these, like, this is how things need to be. And what you allow and what you don't allow. And so then whenever you do that, and you're, like, right now I would definitely say I'm in a healing time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then whenever you set those boundaries, do you know how many people you weed out?
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
You're like, wow, the dating pool is terrible.
But me, any of my relationships, friendship, business, if I'm at the point in my life, and I say this as delicately as I can. If I get a bad vibe, I got no problem removing it, pushing it away. You can call me crazy. I do not care. Because I think it's like how you've gotten protective over your heart and your body and your life and your mind. I'm kind of very protective in that manner, too, of my livelihood because, you know, I went through a pretty traumatic thing back in 2015, and this lady abandoned me, and it was really crazy. And so I don't want to ever be put in the position to where my livelihood would be taken away from me. And that's my mentality right now. And so far, people have proved me right. It's like, you know, if you want to, like, let's just say the same thing with dating. Okay, well, if you want to lie about something little, you're going to lie about something big. Go ahead and move on with your life. Or, okay, right. Well, you're going to talk to my daughter that way. You're going to talk to me that way. Nope, go ahead and move on with your life. Like, you're showing me what you are. I'm not going to repaint another picture of you.
Where I am, I don't. Like, I'm huge on communication. Huge.
People don't do that now. This is why I like talking to you.
Right off the bat, you weed people out very quickly just because they can't freaking communicate or there's no follow through. Or whether it be business, friendships, or, say, a dating relationship. Like, key factors. Like, you have to freaking communicate. And you do have to, like, keep your word. No, you're not, and it's getting worse. But that is, I don't know if it's just because we all live behind computer screens and there's no relationship dynamics that are actually put into place anymore. Like, our relationships are through our freaking phones.
They are. You're absolutely right. But there's no connection.
No. So, again, like, finding that is difficult, and then whenever you find that, allowing yourself to, you know, drop your guard and let down your boundaries. I don't know when that's going to happen to me. Or, well, when I first even opened the door to going out on a possible date, or not a date, but just meeting somebody, it wasn't even because I wanted to. It was because I was to a point where it's like, I don't even find anyone attractive. I'm not even attracted. Like, nothing catches my eye anymore. I mean, where did I go?
Sopiosexual? Is that what they call it? There's a term for it where people are attracted. They're not, like, some people are attracted to look, like the look of something, and some people are attracted to the emotional
their mental. It's like a mental stimulation versus physical. Some people will, you know, some people are attracted to how people look, and some people are attracted to their mentality and the way they act and their character and things of that nature. Is that how you are?
I would probably be attracted to somebody's look first. Like, it has to get my attention.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's followed by character. Now, whenever then that there's a situation where you learn something about someone, and then you're not attracted to them physically, but you are attracted to them emotionally.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that as well. But when you open the door to the horrible dating world and what it is, I literally was like, I'm gonna cannot remember where I live. I cannot remember. And I remember looking around rooms, and I'm looking at my sister. I'm like, I don't even find anyone attractive. Like, no one catches my eye at all. And I'm like, well, apparently, dating is not, you know, for me right now, which is perfectly fine. And then finding someone that is attractive, like I met somebody recently that's very attractive and has the most beautiful, real heart ever. Like, what you want or what you wanted your entire life. And I questioned why did I meet you now? Because now I'm not ready for that, you know?
Yeah.
So timing is everything. It's like horses.
Terrible, but it does show me, it has opened my eyes to the fact that I'm not ready for that huge step. I'm not entertaining.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not the type of person to entertain other individuals, but it really has opened my eyes that I'm really not healed. I really have some things that I need to work on, not just so that I can be in a relationship at a later date, but so that I actually have something to bring to your table, you know? I've given everything I have, and I've poured it into someone else, and my cup is empty. So what good am I to anyone right now when I feel like I'm just being, maybe I'm being replenished right now.
I'm picking up exactly what you're throwing, and I think it's very dope because you've got people out here that do not care about their own internal things that they need to work on before they associate themselves or intertwine their lives with somebody else. You've got people out here that don't care. They'll just wreak havoc on anybody they meet instead of working on themselves. So it's really cool that you are taking the time to do that. I think that's honorable. Like, that's a good thing. You know, more people need to do that.
Well, I think that it would have, honestly, it would not have happened. Like, where I'm at today has so much to do with where I went at the beginning of last year, you know, and going through all the trauma and therapy that I went through, you know, for those 6 weeks at the sanctuary was all day, every day practicing, you know, the undoing basically the lies of the enemy and what you've convinced yourself what you are, and replacing it with, like, God's truth. And that was a huge healing journey that, you know, we still have, like, I have not got on in a while, and I need to, but every Monday we have Zoom calls that are through the sanctuary where we just kind of all meet up and almost have like a 1 to 2 hour therapy session as a group.
That's
from
cool.
All the alumni. But having, just being in a healthier mindset and being forced to take the time and realize your value and your worth and what you deserve. And I look back at all of the things I've been through, and I have allowed myself to go through that were not deserved, but that I, like I said earlier, my arms were just open to it because I love large. So the next person that I love so large is going to have to meet what God has promised me.
That's refreshing to hear that, you know, you have to go through that kind of stuff. It has to get messy. You have to kind of look at the things that you don't want to look at. Like, I know for me, there's certain emotions and situations I don't want to look at because I know how it's going to get. But in order to do better, you have to go through that. And it sucks. But I think it's cool as hell that you're doing it and open about it. And, it, you know, makes people like me feel like, okay, well, it's okay to do that. It's cool to do that, you know? You're contributing something positive to the crazy dating world that we got.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
It is bad, actually.
You know, I have very few guys, like my Facebook. I get on Facebook and I check my notifications mostly for like the girl races and the horses and like work related. And I'll get guy friends, you know, guys that'll send me requests, and the first thing I do is I look at our mutual friends, and then I get on their page and I scroll their page to make sure that there's nothing inappropriate. They post trash to their page, I'm obviously not going to accept them as a friend. And generally, like if it's a woman with a ton of mutual friends, I'll just click accept because we must all be tied together in the horse world. But for a guy, I'm very like, let me see what kind of person this is before I actually accept you as a friend.
Right.
And then yesterday, this notification, I was scrolling my feed, and this guy, a friend on Facebook, no clue who he is, posted something completely inappropriate. And I commented because I was like, I don't even know how we're friends. Like, how did I miss this? I'm going to take care of that right now. And so I deleted him as a friend. And it's...
Hey, I'm not... I will do that too.
Because I'm thinking, how did you get past my barrier? You know? He posted complete trash. And I'm like, ugh, gross. Like, I can't... Somebody that shallow and totally a pervert, you know? And whenever I responded to their post and I said, oh, my God, is this real? Like, how are we even friends? I'm going to take care of it right now. Their response was, and that's probably why you're divorced, why your man left you. And I was like, wow. Like, the depth of some people's personalities is so shallow. You narrow.
They said that on a post?
Yes. And another mutual friend commented, wow, this is completely, like, that was completely out of line. And his post was about tit pics. That's what it was about.
Was about
you
what?
Tit pics.
Oh.
You know, if you're, as a woman, you better send your man tit pics in order to keep all the other girls out of y'all's relationship. That is what the post was about. And I was like, wow, like, we are definitely not friends.
Yeah, no.
And he the said, well, that's probably why your man left you. And I'm like, well, you know, even being married to someone, if keeping him around required me having to send him tit pics, I would have left anyway.
Yeah, that's dumb.
That definitely doesn't make my heart happy and make me feel loved. You know, I don't give two shits if it makes them feel loved if I feel like it's demeaning to me.
Right.
That's clearly not the relationship for me. And, you know, the old me would have...
That account's got to be a joke. That's got to be a joke.
It's not a joke.
It's a real person?
It's a real person. Like, this is the real... This is our dating pool. It's horrible. So but the old me would have defended myself. And
I can't believe he disrespected you like that. I can't believe that this person said, that's why you're divorced.
That's why he's single, though. That's the thing.
That you come to realize, one, that obviously our parents raised us a lot better, because I would never do that to anybody. I would never say that to anybody. But number two, our world does live behind a computer. to your screen. And I've said it once, I will say it 500 million times. The things that people do on the internet, I guarantee you, would not happen in real life. And that's why they feel like they can do it. They feel like they can be disrespectful because there is absolutely no consequence to it. You know, if you will.
And it blew me away, the other men that found it funny or fed into it. Like,
oh my gosh.
It's mind-blowing to me. And it's probably because, like, I have lived a pretty sheltered life. Like, when I was married to Pedro, I did not have guy friends. And the guy friends that I had, I'd either known my entire life, or they were gay barrel racers, that if I picked up the phone and I needed something, those guys would be right there. And, of course, there's Pedro, and he's like, they're not gay. They're just telling me they're gay, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. Like, I didn't allow for any male friendship. And I grew up as a girl that my friends were guys. But I was so protective of my marriage and my relationship that I didn't want to open the door for anything like that. And it doesn't mean that I'm perfect by any means, but I was very protective of my marriage. So not being married anymore and having it been friendly all the time, that's the first thing I do. Let me check out their, are they freaking drunk perverts? Because if they're a drunk or a pervert, I don't know. It's just a no. So much discouraged just because my expectations are pretty low these days. Like, my expectations for myself are huge. But what I expect from other people, the general public, is pretty shallow.
Yeah.
But it baffled me that there were this many sick-minded people that think tit-ticks, you know, it's all about, you know, tit-ticks or ass-ticks. Like, I don't know. I've never been in that world, but I mean, I don't know.
Well, it exists. I can definitely tell you that.
Oh my God, it does.
But it's, and I don't think you were sheltered. No. I don't think you were necessarily sheltered.
I sheltered my marriage, though. I did. I sheltered my family and my marriage because, you know, I learned a long time ago, you leave a crack in a window and the door opens.
Well, and that's a good thing. So, sheltered's not, well, I guess maybe sheltered in a good way. That's a good thing because you don't want that trash in your life, in your marriage, in your family. You don't want any of that. It's one thing to know it exists, but it's another thing to know it exists and keep it where it's at. But
right.
We take trash out on Thursdays. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but trash, but it still exists.
Right. Now, that's bad. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's really no different with women, though. Like, when I see other girls on Facebook and it's nonstop, you know, selfies with, you know, puckered lips and their boobs hanging out of their clothes, then I'm going to say, like, cover yourself up, or I'm going to delete you as a friend because, one, I don't want to look at it, and two, I want the people that I surround myself to have a little bit more respect for themselves to not throw themselves out there like that. Or, you know, you have the people that are just constantly stirring.
You might not like me then. I did a boudoir photo shoot, which, I mean, I enjoyed
that's
it.
I've done one too. And that's
okay, you're not talking about that.
No, I'm not talking about that. And there's some things that are classy, and there's some things that are not. But whenever
I see what you're saying. I get you now. I get
you
now.
When you post a picture to your story every day, and all I see is your damn tits, or so that I see your face, I am going to encourage you to love yourself a little bit more, because if you're trying to draw the man in because of what your boobs look like, you're asking for the wrong type of relationship, and then I'm going to hear you whining about it later.
Yeah, you know what? This goes right back to what I was trying to say earlier. I feel like women are having to do what we mentally think men are supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, men don't court anymore. Men don't chase. Or maybe chase is the wrong word.
whatever. But you know what I mean? Men don't do that stuff anymore. You see everything that you just said. I see it too. Like, you see these women out here, just basically, they're just thirsty as hell, just throwing themselves out there all the time. And I'm like, but now it's like, all you see out here is the women are doing the men's role. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, where my, oh my gosh, I am so thankful for where my kids go to school, because my son will get so upset with me and Jaden when we don't allow him to open and close the door for us. And I know that that sounds silly to a lot of people, but it means so much to me. And the last pair I dated after Pedro, because Pedro Dankster didn't do any of that stuff, he was taught really good manners. Is going to pull out your chair. He wasn't going to sit down until you sat down. He was going to open and close the door for you. If you got in the vehicle before, without him opening the door, he was going to make you get out and do it over again, you know? So things like, little things like that were such a big thing to me now, but I'm like, oh my gosh, my next relationship, the guy has to do these. You know, things that I didn't even think existed anymore. So, but it's funny how little things that you, little ways that you were treated, you weren't treated before, can, you can enter a new relationship and get the things that you want, but then something else is unhealthy. And you accept the unhealth because they bring some other type of health to the relationship. So you really just traded one unhealthy trait for another, basically.
Well, yeah, this is true. I mean, because, well, you got to pick your battles. Perfection doesn't exist, but I'm picking up what you're throwing.
I gotta learn to pick my battles a little bit better.
What do you mean? Like, as far as certain things?
Well, no, because, like, what I'm saying is okay. And I'm not saying this to put Pedro down or anything like that, but, like, Pedro's not a, there's no chivalry. He's not going to open and close your door. He's not, it's not a you first.
Yeah.
Ever. Never was. He's not a communicator. Nothing gets stressed. Everything's pushed under the rug. He's never going to say he's sorry. And he's never going to admit he's wrong. Ever. Those are just things that he does not do.
Right.
So it was a very unhealthy relationship. And then the next relationship I entered into, he was an alcoholic. He is an alcoholic. And has a lot of some crazy drama with, you know, promiscuous behavior before me. And, you know, kids and, you know, God, legal stuff like this.
Right.
Trash. And, but he was going to open the door for me and treat me like a lady. He was so freaking, like, if I needed to talk or we needed to address something, or if I was now, like, very encouraging, very thoughtful, you know, very, all of the things Pedro wasn't. If he did something wrong, you're dang right he was going to admit. You know, he was at fault and apologized.
Yeah.
So he brought things to the table emotionally that met my needs. However, it was traded out with other bad things, like dealing with, you know, alcohol and crazy ex-girlfriends, literally. Like, you need to be hospitalized and institutionalized and go to jail kind of crap. That I tolerated that. Because even though I should have never tolerated that, I tolerated it because he met my needs emotionally.
Right.
So I just traded one unhealthy relationship for another unhealthy relationship, ultimately. So that's why allowing somebody to give me what I do truly deserve.
Yeah.
And yeah. Believing, like, literally, 100% internally believing that I am worthy of that. Whereas before, you couldn't, those words were not going to come out of my mouth ever. And now knowing and embracing, I am good enough. I am worthy enough. And some will be so blessed to have me as a partner whenever I reach a point that I can give who I am to someone else and I find somebody that is worthy of my being, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that
might not ever happen, and that's okay too.
Well, but, and that's a stepping stone too, because a lot of women, or men too, a lot of people, when they leave a relationship because they felt bad or they, you know, like they didn't feel, they lacked confidence, when they get around something that makes them feel confident and makes them feel good, some people will actually scare away from that because they're still not confident enough to do, like what you said, to know that it's okay and they deserve that. You know, nobody talks about that emotion, but that's very real because I've had people, you know, you go from something bad to something good. You're like, oh, whoa. This is too good. Something's wrong. It's not right.
Exactly. So you wait and you look for the flaw.
Right. Yes.
Like you're gonna dig something up that is like, I knew there was a flaw. I knew you had a hole. Like, and that's not helpful.
It's not. But no, it's not healthy.
Very true, because I will pick you apart and give myself every reason as to why I should not communicate with you, because that's how guarded I am now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's because it's guarded and you know, it's a wounded energy. I keep seeing all of this on TikTok, but I think that's what that exactly it is. You know, it's a wounded sense of, okay, well, I'm not fully healed yet. I know that I'm not fully healed. I know that this is okay, but I'm still trying to find something wrong with it, which means I'm not healed yet. So it's still, I mean, the fact that you're aware of this whole dynamic, the whole thing, is pretty great. But I completely feel what you're saying. It's not, you know, I think that's almost a defense mechanism. It's almost like, okay, well, I'm hurt right now. Let me find something wrong, even though I know it's not. But I'm going to find something wrong so that I can protect myself.
Yeah. I met this guy recently, and I'm very, very transparent about my feelings or, you know, whatever. And his response is literally, that's fine. I'll wait on you. Like, whatever makes you comfortable.
Aww.
And my response is, who are you? Like, are you real? Who are you? Like, why are you like this?
Do you have a third nipple? Or?
That's funny. Let's hope not. But I...
Something is wrong.
Exactly. There's something wrong with you. And so because I can't find anything wrong, I'm digging for something wrong, whenever the person is truly just like a genuinely caring. No, I'm talking like no pressure, no expectation, no, just completely like, oh wait, I'm not going anywhere. Whatever you need, I just want you to be comfortable. I just want you to be safe. I just want you to be happy. Well, I just wanted that my entire life, and I'm fixing to be 44, and then you show up when I'm all broken, you know.
You're not broken. We're putting the pieces back together. You're putting the pieces back together.
We are. I'm definitely not as broken as I used to be, but I'm, as far as, you know, handing my heart over to someone else, it's definitely not ready for that, and I didn't realize, I don't think I would ever realize that until, you know, reaching this point.
Yeah, and it's frustrating for the other person too. It's got to be frustrating at some point because, you know, for me, I know I can relate from a business perspective. You know, you like, I know I'm a good person. I know I'm good. I know that I'm not what the person had before, and so that's frustrating sometimes too because, you know, at some point, the other person.
They're being punished for somebody
else. Yeah,
you're
right. Right. Yeah, exactly. It almost feels like a punishment. Like, okay, well, but that's not my fault. But I get it, but it's not my fault. You know, like.
I see that, and I can definitely see where somebody would be frustrated and where it would hurt them to be treated as if they are to be, they're expected to be the way you were, they were expected to treat you the way you've been treated in your past. So
right.
It's not a comfortable feeling for either party, for sure.
But you're right when you said it. It's almost like, okay, well, where were you at 20 years ago? I mean, what, like?
Apparently God's got some crazy sense of humor. And I was talking to Bailey in the barn about this earlier. And I said, you know, growing up, I was a good kid. Like, I made great grades. I did great in college. I worked 40, 50-hour work weeks going through college. I rodeoed for the university. I took, you know, I graduated.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, like I did everything, and I did things well, and I had plans. And honestly, growing up, one of my goals was I'm never going to get married because I'm not going to get divorced. I feared getting divorced.
Were you the only child or the first child?
Oh no, I was the second child.
Interesting.
My sister was a mess. She did not.
Your older sister?
Yes, she was the bad kid.
I have never heard this before. Like, this, you just blew my mind. Because, you know, the firstborns are always like, because I'm firstborn. I've got a couple of friends of mine, firstborn. We're all like, A-type, like what you just said. Good grade. Do the best you can. Blah, 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 blah. But you were the second, and the first was not that way.
Girl, the first was terrible. I mean, she didn't make good grades. She got in trouble for reading filthy novels during her classes. She, like, how are we even sisters? You know?
Oh, wow.
I'm driving to see her right now because she's my best friend. But
to say, do y'all get along? Or
yes. It's so funny. Okay, last night, I was, she was trying not to wake her husband. I actually have one, and I don't. But she was trying not to wake her husband. And so the lights were off, and she ran into the wall, and she busted her nose up, like, it's all blue, and she was trying to get black eyes, so I was scrolling. I was scrolling through TikTok, and I found this video, and I sent it to her. Well, she picks up the phone, and she calls me, and I'm laughing when I answer. She's like, why are you laughing? And I said, did you get my video? And she's like, what video? No, did you get the video I sent you? So I go to my messages. And I'm like, hey, what time does it say I sent you the video? So she goes and she looks and she goes, 9:14. And I said, you sent me a video at 9:13. So we're totally in the same space. But what's up? And her life continued messed up for a long time.
She got it together. She got it unmessed up.
She met the most amazing man that accepted her and her messes and married her and adopted her kids and raised her kids. And her kids are done, graduated, moved out, and in college. And she's happily married. And then the good kid is all messed up now. I'm like, what happened? She pull life together, and I don't have my crap together.
You have your crap. Trust me, you're a lot further along than a lot of people out there. You got your stuff together. You can get there.
This was not my goal at all.
Well,
not in the cards at all. So, and what's even most amazing about it, Brianna, is that whenever after I got kicked in the head, you know, Pedro and I did good for like the first month after I got kicked in the head, and by the end of April, you know, a month and a half after that, we fell apart again, and things had gotten really bad, and I sent Jaden off. I'm like, Jaden just needs to get out of this house because this is not a healthy place to be. Well, I sent her to different places with great families, and when she came back, she was like, is Tonti, Shay, and Uncle Matt, is that what marriage is supposed to look like?
Aww.
And it was almost like a light went off, and I said, and it just brings tears to my eyes, and I was like, yes. And it has not always been pretty. I said, but that is what marriage is supposed to look like.
God is working for you. See, God's working for
100%.
You. Because even though you're in this stage now, she pulled through, okay, and she's in that stage. And so it is working out for your better good, because for your daughter and for you. You know how that kind of worked out pretty good. God said, I got you, girl.
In a very sick, twisted way, yes, it did. But I was like, yes, babe, that's what a relationship is supposed to look like. And she's like, wow. You know, and she admires those kind of relationships. And she's very diligent. And I think that she kind of focuses on relationships like that and what they look like. And that's what she's after. So I'm thankful.
That's
I'm
good.
Thankful for that. Yes.
She has a good example.
Yes. So, you know, there's definitely hope for all of us that feel like lost causes. But,
Well, I think, you know, the more I talk about stuff like this to different people and things like that, you know, I think we all as humans have the same chapters. We just have them in different
orders.
You know what I mean? Like, because I can relate to what you're saying with your sister, because my sister, we've been exact opposites our whole life, you know, and I don't want to say as drastic as, you know, one having their life together and one not, you know, because you have different perspectives of things that what does one consider having their life together nonetheless, you know, but I think that's it. And maybe that's how God works, is he'll take a little something from you. Maybe you were the example for your sister when she was messed up and you just didn't know it.
Well, I have no idea. I have no idea. But for me, you know, me going to Shay and having Shay kind of lead me and try to, you know, ignite a fire in me or inspire me or to,
yeah,
with just different perspectives. She is phenomenal. She needs to be a life coach. She's phenomenal at what she does.